The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
What's going on, everybody? Welcome into First Take. Today's truly a celebration. We recognize greatness, the first day of Black History Month. And also, fellas, it's Super Bowl week. Good morning, Max, yeah. Stephen A. Good to see
you. Good morning. Let's
dive right in here now. It all goes down this Sunday. Patrick Mahomes versus Tom Brady. Need I say more? I don't think so. Both of them littered with weapons. So, Stephen A., I ask you this. Who's more valuable to their team? Is it Brady or Mahomes?
Well, you know, I'm going to say Tom Brady. And I'm going to say Tom Brady because even though I'm clearly not saying that Tom Brady is better than Patrick Mahomes at this stage and point in his career, I'm definitely going to say he's more important to this team. Because when I look at the Kansas City Chiefs and I see Travis Kelce and I see Tyreek Hill and I see Williams out of the backfield and I see Mecole Hardman and I see Sammy Watkins and I see Andy Reid and I see Eric Bieniemy, even without Patrick Mahomes, clearly they wouldn't be the same team. We all know that. But in the end, the Kansas City Chiefs would still have a chance. They've got no chance without Tom Brady. Without Tom Brady, they're a Tampa Bay squad led by Jameis Winston. And we all know how that panned out. You can throw for 5,000 yards. You can throw for 33 touchdowns. But you can also throw 30 interceptions, okay? That's how I look at the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. That's the kind of difference that Tom Brady has made. And because of that, I would say that his value to his team is more than Patrick Mahomes is at this point because all the weapons work on Kansas City, at least to some degree, without Patrick Mahomes. Without Tom Brady, they don't work in Tampa, period.
So we say this exactly the opposite. The answer is clearly Patrick Mahomes. Not only is Patrick Mahomes way better than Brady right now, and Brady's still very good, as I've said, he's better than Brady's ever been, and it's not close. Mahomes right now is better than Brady's ever been. Anyone will tell you that. Just watch them. And look at the results. Third, you know, reigning and defending Super Bowl champion Patrick Mahomes. Take Patrick Mahomes off this Chiefs team. You think they're in the Super Bowl? You think they're favored to win? Replace him with an average quarterback like a Jared Goff. Or replace him with a good quarterback. The guy Goff was just traded for, Matthew Stafford, right? He's actually good. That's why they traded Goff, an average guy, for him. You think the Chiefs are favored? You think they're even there? I mean, you mentioned a bunch of their other receivers and weapons, but those guys are like regular guys in the league. Good players, but all teams have good players. The special guys are Tyreek Hill and Travis Kelce. No doubt about it. But guys, both Patrick Mahomes' tackles are gone. Both offensive tackles. Mitch Schwartz with a back problem, right? And Eric Fisher. Who are those guys? Mitch Schwartz has been gone for weeks and weeks now. Mitch Schwartz made the Pro Football Focus All-Decade Second Team. He's a stud. And on the other side, Eric Fisher was the number one overall pick in the draft and a two-time Pro Bowler. Gone. They're gone. Mahomes has to be Superman, as always. We're acting like, oh, my God, the Chiefs are so loaded. They run block average. They're middle of the pack. That's a fact. You know, their passing game's incredible. Not only do they have weapons, they have Patrick Mahomes, the best player in the game. We know the Bucs are going to have to bring four. They're going to have to bracket Tyreek Hill. They're not going to make the mistake of single covering him again, right? So that means they got to get it done with a four up front. Can they? Yes, they can. They have an excellent defense, all three levels. In fact, the defense is at least as much responsible for their excellence as their offense with Tom Brady. We saw what Brady did without weapons last year, not a whole lot. He has tons of weapons this year. His best weapons aren't as good as Mahomes' best weapons, but Brady has at least as many of them. No. Brady can game manage and be big on third down in the Super Bowl, and they can win because of that defense. Mahomes has to overcome a hurt offensive line, a defense right. That no one's losing sleep over. He's going to have to do it, Stephen A. He's the most valuable player.
Well, first of all, stop lying to the American public. When you talk about their run blocking, they had the 16th ranked rushing attack in the National Football League. Do you know why that was, Max? Because they ranked 23rd in attempts. They're not trying to run the ball. They're pass-happy offense. They run the ball by accident. They'll take what you give them on occasion, and they'll run the football to appease their running backs and what have you. But the bottom line is they ain't trying to run the football too much. We all know that. Secondly, you got a couple of offensive linemen out, but they're experienced offensive linemen that's going to replace them. Three, you talk about the Kansas City Chiefs and how would they be in the Super Bowl without Patrick Mahomes. Fair question, fair answer. I got one to one up you on that one. I don't think the Tampa Bay Buccaneers would be in the playoffs without Tom Brady. That's the difference. So you're right about them not being in the Super Bowl, Kansas City, but Tampa Bay might not even be in the playoffs without Tom Brady. I don't think that you're really paying attention. You're looking at the numbers. I don't think you're really paying attention to the leadership of Tom Brady. Everything is not measured in numbers. When you think about Tom Brady, his infusion, his leadership that he's implemented into that locker room and how he's got folks more disciplined, more focused, more eyes on the prize per se than ever before, I think that you have to look at it from that perspective and give credit where credit is due to what he brings to the table. And I'm not saying that you didn't. I'm not saying that you said he was a bad player and he wasn't having a great year. I'm not trying to imply that you're saying that. I'm just talking about specifically as it pertains to the question of value to
leadership.
One team, one against the other. When you look at what Tampa Bay would be without Tom Brady, I just think that pales into – I think that's significantly more than what Kansas City would be without Patrick Mahomes.
I see it exactly the opposite. The Bucs are a much better, more well-rounded team than the Chiefs. They both have good coaches. Reed has a Super Bowl already, so he's considered better, but you can't sleep on the Tampa Bay staff. Yes, Tom Brady's leadership, in fact, I've been emphasizing recently. There's no doubt about it, but
recently,
what are you comparing him to? You're comparing him to a guy who threw 30 interceptions for 112 points last year. Jameis Winston is not a middle-of-the-pack quarterback. He was so bad, he did not have a starting job this year, which means he's not one of the top 32. So you're saying, would the Tampa Bay Bucs be in the playoffs without Brady? Yeah, I think a lot of quarterbacks could have gotten to the playoffs. Not to the Super Bowl. Leadership, absolutely. Brady has a premium there. But so does Mahomes. Mahomes is a guy that whole team believes in. What separates him from me, even from Aaron Rodgers, Stephen A., you talk about the weapons. It's actually the sense that his team always seems to have. That no matter what the score is, no matter what the situation, how far down, how much time left, they're going to win because Patrick Mahomes is their quarterback and leader. That you saw it all last playoffs. They dug holes in the first half.
But that's answering the question about who's better.
All three comeback wins.
That's answering the question about who's better, not who's more valuable.
Stephen A.
That's answering the question about nobody's debating that Patrick Mahomes is better than Tom Brady. But when you look at the team, you look at tradition, you look at culture, you take all of those things into consideration and you look at what Tom Brady brings to the table, I just think it's more significant. Patrick Mahomes is Patrick Mahomes and he's an absolute stud. But there's a lot that Kansas City has to support that brother. There's an awful lot. You look at Tampa Bay, you look at talent.
Not as much as Brady.
But, I disagree with that. I disagree with that.
Hold on.
Have you seen that many passes Chris Godwin
has dropped into the Super Bowl? Let's talk about heading into this Super Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
What's going on?
Sure.
Brady's offensive line is healthier and playing better than Mahomes' offensive line, both in terms of protecting the quarterback, especially now that Fisher's out, and in terms of run blocking. Stephen A., I never said they had a bad run game, the Chiefs, but it's middle of the pack. What they have is Mahomes. He has two supreme weapons. Brady has a bunch, too. By the way, Scotty Miller is a burner. He's their third best receiver. We're not pretending that Evans and Godwin aren't a dynamic duo.
He's their best deep threat.
They are. He has tight ends everywhere you look, Brady. And Stephen A., more importantly, Brady has a game-changing defense. He has a ball-hawking defense on all three levels. But the corners, the secondary, can cover, and they create turnovers. They've been doing it all playoffs. He has more for in terms of his entire team than Mahomes. So not only is Mahomes the better player, he has to play better for his team to win. He's more valuable.
I disagree with it. I disagree. And by the way, that defense that you're talking about, I didn't notice that when they went up against Kansas City. I didn't notice that when Tyreek Hill had 207 yards and two touchdowns and seven receptions in the first quarter against them. I didn't notice that defense when they got blitzed 38-3 in a regular season by New Orleans. There have been hiccups along the way with this defense, which, by the way, is definitely blitz happy. I don't know how well that's going to work against Patrick Mahomes, who's thrown 17 touchdowns and zero interceptions against the blitz this year. I'm just looking at it, and I'm saying, excuse me, Patrick Mahomes is that dude. But Tom Brady, Tampa, without him right now, nah, I don't even think they're in the playoffs. I really don't.
Wow, not even in the playoffs. All right, let's leave it on that note, fellas, because we had a blockbuster trade over the weekend. Listen to this. The Lions trading Matthew Stafford to the Rams for Jared Goff and draft picks. Now, according to Adam Schefter, Detroit will also receive a third-round pick in 2021, a first-round pick in 2022, and a first-round pick in 2023. Speaking of Adam Schefter, Max, just let me say this quickly. I heard him on Get Up this morning, and this really jumped out to me. He said this season, 18 teams might change their quarterback. Unreal. But we'll focus on this specific trade here, Max. Is it right? It's ridiculous. Is this a good or bad trade for the Rams?
It's a bad trade for the Rams. Let me be very clear. Stafford makes them better right now. He's better than Goff. I'm not claiming Stafford's not better than Goff. Stephen A., I'll leave that to you. I'm talking about if I were a GM, would I make this trade? And you got to really put it in the context of what's going on with the Rams. I know the Rams feel like they can make, they can identify talent later in the draft. So they gave up first for Jalen Ramsey, and that worked out and all that. I get it. Who's their best player? Aaron Donald's their best player. You ain't going to find him in the second or third round. You get him with a first-round pick high up in the first round. That's where the all-time talents are. Donald is their best player. They're not going to find him later on. They used a first-round pick on him high up. Now, look at this trade, guys, and put it in the context of what the Rams have done. Have they been a powerhouse? They have. It's worked out in the short run. But, guys, they just signed Jared Goff not that long ago to the deal. The number one overall pick in the draft, they wound up giving over $100 million to, and then they turn around and decide he's not good enough. It's not that he's awful. He's not Carson Wentz this year. He didn't get hurt to the extent that Dak Prescott did. He played, and he played okay, but they said, no, we're not going to win a Super Bowl with this guy. We need more. So your first overall pick in the draft, you paid over $100 million to, in order to get out of that deal and bring in someone better. And Matthew Stafford is not an MVP caliber player. He's a good quarterback. He's not a great one, but he's a good one. You give up Goff, two firsts and a third? Think of the draft capital you gave up for Ramsey. One of these guys are going to draft in the first round again. Stephen A., basically what this trade says is they have to win a Super Bowl. They got to win a Super Bowl, what, in the next 2 years? Or it's a disaster. Stafford is an upgrade. They gave up too much to get him.
You could say that. I get where you're coming from, and I don't blame you for that position, but I'm going to respectfully disagree. And the reason I'm going to disagree is because, number one, you have Sean McVay. He's 43-21 as a head coach in his 4 years in L.A. He's never had a losing season. He's taken them to the Super Bowl. He's won 67% of his games. He's proven that he kind of knows what he's doing. Now, has he been the boy wonder over the last couple of years that folks anticipated? No. But one of the reasons would be injuries. Todd Gurley comes to mind. Obviously, you've made some changes, but more importantly than that, clearly it was his relationship that had diminished and disintegrated before our very eyes with Jared Goff. And so if you are the Rams, and this is a guy that's an offensive-minded coach, and he's telling you he needs a quarterback, and I got a guy, Matthew Stafford, albeit injury-prone, but who's only 32 years of age and clearly better than Jared Goff, then I got to pay attention to that. I saw Aaron Rodgers the other day on Pat McAfee's show glowing about Matthew Stafford, number one. Number two, in terms of his no-look passes and his arm strength and being able to throw from any angle, et cetera, et cetera. We know that Matthew Stafford was mired in Detroit because in 12 years there, they had a losing record 8 times. He's only made the playoffs 3 times. His record, I think, as a starting quarterback wasn't that impressive, to say the least. And I think he's got like 282 touchdowns to like 144 interceptions. That's not even a 2-to-1 turnover touchdown to the turnover ratio, for crying out loud. So that's problematic. I get that. But we also look at how awful the Detroit Lions organization has been. And now he's been mired in football purgatory playing for them. So now he gets to go out to L.A. He gets to be in Tinseltown, being coached by a guy like Sean McVay with plenty of life left in him. I think when you talk about having a big-time quarterback, somebody that has the ability, rather, to be big-time, particularly if you're well-coached and you act like you want to be there, I think there's something to be said for that. With him and Les Snead, a willingness to move to get rid of picks, because we gonna make our moves in free agencies, particularly via trades, and they've shown a willingness to do that, combined with the fact that you've got the top-rated defense that is Super Bowl championship ready, with Aaron Donald on the line of scrimmage, with Jalen Ramsey in your secondary. I believe you got to send a message, you going for it, and if this is what it is, this is what it is. I really don't have a problem with it, because I understand what they're saying. We ain't playing games. We're going for it. We believe in our coach. We believe in our defense. And because we believe in that, we think we're a quarterback away. When you believe that, you make a move like this. And that's why I don't have a real big problem with
it. Well, it's going to be a good experiment because, as you said, the Detroit Lions have been among the worst organizations throughout Stafford's career. And we all know in the NFL, if you have a good coach and a good quarterback, you're in the playoffs more than you're not. And that's we know McVay's a good coach. And as you said, they have a great defense. And now they have a guy who we believe is a good quarterback. But when I say good, Stephen A., he's not Jay Cutler. He's not a guy where you saw the talent, but you're like, no, you don't want that guy as your quarterback. I don't think you could say that about Stafford. But I will say this. When I watch a guy like Justin Herbert, and I think, boy, this guy is going to be great. His floor is like Matt Stafford. If Herbert turns out to be Matthew Stafford, we'll be disappointed. And that tells you what you need to know. Stafford has that kind of talent.
I think that's a bit extreme.
Stafford's always had that kind of talent.
I think that's a bit extreme because of what we said about the Detroit Lions organization.
Okay, well, as I said, we'll find out with the Rams. But as of right now, based on the evidence we have, I believe Stafford is an elite, talented QB whose career has been good. He's been a good quarterback, not a great quarterback, in spite of that elite talent. The bet that the Rams are making here is we think we can win a Super Bowl now, next couple of seasons, with Matt Stafford. Well, they better be right, because they're mortgaging their future to do it. They just signed Goff to the deal. They used an enormous amount of draft capital on him. First overall pick. Doesn't get higher than that. They paid him as much money as anyone was getting paid at the time. It was right in line with the top of the market when they gave it to him. And now they're turning around, and to get out of it, they're including two firsts and a third to bring in a guy who we believe maybe has underachieved because of his organization. That's a bet they're making, and they better be right.
Well, listen, the bottom line is when you're talking about the quarterback position, if you look at Matthew Stafford and you can see him penciled in as your quarterback for the next 5 years, it's worth it. It's worth it. If you can see him as your quarterback for the next 5 years, the way he's capable of balling and how we know Sean McVay can coach, it's worth it for the quarterback.
Let me cap it by this. Max, you sort of alluded to this, but 2 years ago, Goff signed the largest contract in NFL history in terms of guaranteed money, 2 years removed from taking a team with the 20th ranked defense to the Super Bowl. A lot has changed. As far as Matthew Stafford, he's never been in a winning situation. We'll see what he can do in L.A.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code FIRSTTAKE and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to gamble responsibly. See BetMGM.com for terms. This U.S. promotional offer not available in D.C., Mississippi, North Carolina, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 for New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. For Massachusetts, 1-800-327-5050. For Iowa, 1-800-BETS-OFF. For Puerto Rico, 1-800-981-0023. For West Virginia, visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. First bet offer for new customers only. Subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. In partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel.
Hey, hey, I'm Molly Karam, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. You can now stream the most MLB games on DirecTV without a satellite dish. Yes, catch the clutch hits, strikeouts, grand salamis, web gems with nothing on your roof. So whoever's up there, whether it's roofers, Santa, birds, old-time chimney sweepers, moody teenagers, thrill-seeking raccoons, you name it, they won't find a satellite dish, but you will find your MLB games on DirecTV. That means DirecTV is your home for baseball this season. Root, root, root with nothing on your roof. Yes, stream your team. Call 1-800-DIRECTV or visit DirecTV.com to sign up today. Claim based on the total games carried on sports networks. Sports availability varies by zip code and requires choice package. Thanks so much for listening to the First Take Pod. Have a fabulous day.
Fellas, a wild one in the association that came down to those last couple seconds. And Washington pulled it off, Max. So tell me this. How worried are you about the Nets with this superstar team?
As currently constructed, very. I don't see them getting out of the East as currently constructed. Let me give you Stephen A. I mean, the eyeball test, you can see that they don't seem to care about defense. They gave up 48 points in the fourth quarter. 48 points in the fourth quarter. To a sorry team. Think about that for a second. The Nets have played basically a whole slew of sorry teams. Their schedule's been very soft since the Harden trade. Do you know where they rank? Like, in that sample, since the Harden trade till now, their offense is the best ever. The best offense ever. Most points per 100 possession ever. You know what their defense is? The worst ever. Guys, ever. What? Not over any 10-game span, but if this were it for the whole season, they'd be on pace for the like that 10-game, whatever, how many games since Harden's been traded, that'd be the worst defense of all time. But when you're playing sorry teams, it means you get a little less credit for your offense, right? It's easier to score. And your defense is even worse than it seems. You have the worst defense ever playing teams that have a hard time scoring. Yes, this worries me. In the last 20 years, no team that is below 11th in defense wins a championship. None. They're the worst ever since the Harden trade. I look at the Dallas Mavericks last year. They actually had the most efficient offense ever. But their defense was way better than this Nets team. They made a little noise in the playoffs. They didn't win the championship, right? This Nets team, the worst ever. Guys, they're going to have to make a move by the deadline. It's going to have to be someone who can secure defensive rebounds at the very least for them, a guy who can play significant minutes. Because the defensive possession, Steve A., as lackluster as they are on defense, as much as they seem like they don't care, sometimes they kind of, oh, that's not a bad defensive series set. What happens? They don't secure the defensive rebound. Like, you it's not over until you secure that defensive rebound. They are going to have to make a move, Stephen A., because it's currently constructed in this year of COVID still with not practice like always, social distancing. They're not going to get it together the way another team might in a normal season. They're going to have to make a move.
A couple of things let me say to you. Number one, it's laughable that anybody would expect the Brooklyn Nets to play defense when Steve Nash, a Hall of Fame caliber player, we all know that Steve Nash was big time, but he would never be accused of being a great defender in his career. And as my brother Jamie Foxx once joked, take the D out of D'Antoni. At some point, you're going to have to figure out that you got to play defense at some time. D, take the D out of D'Antoni. That man ain't never been associated with defense. Even though the Houston Rockets in the bubble, their defense looked well. We all know that's because of Elston Turner and the job that he was doing as a defensive mind. D'Antoni ain't think about no damn defense. Never has, never will. That's just the way that it is. So when those are your two top coaches, your head coach and your lead assistant, and neither of them have defense associated with their names, excuse me, you're going to have problems defensively. Number two, James Harden didn't play last night, so I'm not going to hold him accountable for that. Regardless of how they look, it ain't because of him that they were struggling defensively. They've been struggling defensively from open and tap. This is the 27th ranked defense in the National Basketball Association. They are a bottom four defense in the NBA, and they have been that way since opening night. That's who they are. And so when I look at it from that perspective, it just says to me, excuse me, yeah, it's a problem, but it's a problem that I anticipate they will overcome because everybody can score 100-plus points, even against the Nets. I know it looked bad last night because, Max, don't underestimate, when Russell Westbrook is on the same court going up against Kevin Durant, you're going to see a show. You're going to see Russell Westbrook at his best. Boy, is he coming. And it's beautiful for us to watch them go at it with such ferocity. I think the bigger concern for the Brooklyn Nets is that although it's not by much, and although it's only by a shot or two last night, it's about a shot more season or whatever, I think it's problematic when Kevin Durant is not your leading shot taker. It's Kyrie Irving. I'm not blaming Kyrie for anything. I'm simply saying when you have Kevin Durant as efficient of a star as he is, he must shoot the ball more than everybody else. And that's not what's happening here. And I think that that's more problematic than their defense. Because let me tell you something. With the efficiency of a Kevin Durant, that will neutralize a lot of defenses because it will make them more tighter. Oh, Kyrie, for example, shot about 50% last night. Kevin Durant hit 57% of his shots. This is the kind of stuff that I'm talking about. Go ahead, Max.
Wait, hold up. You are actually looking, let's take it since the Harden trade, at, I just said, the best, most efficient offense ever. They score the most points per 100 possessions of any basketball team that has ever played in the NBA. You're saying the issue is they need to get more efficient?
Hold on. I'm not saying they as an offense need to be more efficient. I'm simply saying it's when we ask the question about how worried are we about the Nets, I am telling you, more than their defense, I'm worried when someone other than Kevin Durant is the one taking more shots because to me that spells doom for them.
Wait a minute.
That's what I feel.
That is, take the logical extension of what you're saying. You're saying on offense, they need to realign the number of shots. Now, I agree it's better if Durant shoots more because he's the best player. Mm-hmm. But that's not the point. They can do just fine on offense like they're doing. In other words, the most efficient offense ever. I don't think the issue is if you look at that. You know what they need to do? Be even better on offense because Durant should shoot more. No. The least efficient defense ever needs to get better, ever. Stephen A., they gave up 147 points to the Cavs. And then a couple nights later, a buck 125 to the Cavs at home. Right? You know, like, this is – and it's the same thing with the Hawks. It's every team scoring over 125
points. I love how you
points.
Think you –
They're awful.
But as somebody – you know, Max – John Chaney just passed away on Friday. God rest his soul. I covered him. Larry Brown, 76ers, Hall of Famer. I covered him. I'm talking about learning basketball from these folks, understanding that we get how awful the defense of the Brooklyn Nets is. But again, the operative word here is worried. When we talk about being worried, we're looking ahead. And what I'm saying is as awful as Brooklyn's defense is, I think it might get slightly better. Instead of being the 27th-ranked defense, Max, by season's end, they might be the 24th-ranked defense, okay? It's not going to be earth-shattering. But if you have a trend where your most efficient offensive superstar is playing a secondary role, I believe that is what ultimately will come back and bite you even more than being what I'm assuming will be the 24th or 25th ranked defense because their offense is so prolific. I think they can outscore a lot of people. But when it gets tight and you don't know, here you go. Take us to the promised land because you think you can do it. I think that's the kind of thing that ultimately will haunt them when it counts. Basketball at times against elite teams going against one another are about moments. And moments, you got to know who to give it to.
That would be fine if two things were true, which are not true. Number one, the thing that's not true. They're 27th overall in defense since the start of the season. But Stephen A., since Harden got there, they're the worst ever. Not just this year, but ever. okay? They'd be on track to be the worst ever. So that means their defense has gotten not a little bit worse, but actually a lot worse. They're not trending in that direction. And if your claim is yes, but eventually with enough time, remember, not normal season with practice and all that stuff, with enough time, they can get up to the 24th ranked defense. When I just told you, no one below 11 has ever won a championship. What I'm telling you is even at 24 as great as the offense is, there ain't going to What I'm saying is there's not going to be a lot of close games against top teams at this rate. They're having close games against the worst teams in the East.
So what are you implying? Are you implying that when they go to the playoffs, they're going to get blown out? Are you implying that when they get to the playoffs, their games are not going to be close?
Yeah, that's right. What I'm saying is they're going to lose badly if they don't.
Nobody's blowing them out.
If they don't make a move for a defensive player, especially a guy who can get them defensive rebounds, they will not go far in the playoffs. They need to make a move by the deadline.
Okay. All right, we got to leave it there. The Nets currently second in the East at 13-9 behind the Sixers. How about those Sixers?
Hey, I'm Molly Karam, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. Have you ridden an electric bike yet? Well, you need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to more exploring time outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range for up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus, Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome. So you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting lectricebikes.com. That's lectricebikes.com. Hey, Molly Karam here, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. We all know breakfast is part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any, and you know what happens. You grab a cup of coffee, you skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, even waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Come on. Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Deshaun Watson has been all over the headlines after asking for a trade out of Houston and after the blockbuster Goff Stafford trade over the weekend. Many are wondering what that means for Deshaun's future. Could it impact it? Josina Anderson tweeting this. Meanwhile, interesting to hear personal opinions around the league. AFC exec just now on Deshaun Watson. It'll be hard for me to see them letting the QB out of here. It's a shame they allowed it to get this bad. Looks like Watson is serious. He may have to hold out all of 2021. Dan Orlovsky, our quarterback, joining us now. He is always serious in all business, not really. Good to see you, Dan. Max, I'm starting with you. Can you see Watson sitting out the entire season?
I can. If Cal McNair gets that stubborn, yeah. I mean, I don't think he will because I don't think I think McNair, you'd have to be a fool to try to prove a point and waste the season of your franchise because the guy doesn't want to play for you, period. But yes, if it comes to that, I think Deshaun Watson sits out the season. I believe he'll have the courage of his convictions, and I think that's what it comes down to. I think he does not like Cal McNair, period. Don't forget, Bob McNair, Cal's father, said we can't have the inmates running the prison, which was curious to me at the time because actually the expression, as I learned it, was the inmates running the asylum, meaning you're in like a crazy house and you can't have crazy people making decisions, right? But he said prison, a little bit different. And his son also has done things like hire a firm to find the best candidates. The two best candidates, apparently, neither one was white. He went in another direction and for GM and hired a white guy. Now, is that what did it? Or is that kind of symptomatic of stuff that Deshaun Watson sees and doesn't like? In other words, I think on principle, Deshaun Watson wouldn't play at this point for Cal McNair. That's what it seems to me. So it becomes a question of two things. How stubborn is McNair? I don't believe he'd cut off his nose to spite his own face here. I think especially after the Stafford deal, two firsts and a third and a player, you got to be thinking, oh, my God, we're going to get such a haul for Deshaun if we trade him now before the draft. So that's one. And two, do you believe Deshaun Watson would stand on principle? And based on everything I know about Deshaun Watson, I believe the answer is yes. So, yeah, I could see it happen.
I don't see that happening at all, because I think that obviously Deshaun Watson comes from relatively humble beginnings, which explains how tearful and emotional he was when he agreed to that four-year contract for in excess of $110 million in guaranteed dollars. If he were to sit out this season, he would have to forfeit his base salary, which is, I think, is about $10.5 million, if I remember correctly. Plus, the Houston Texans would be able to make a case to not only not pay him his salary, but to get some of their signing bonus money back. Deshaun Watson is not trying to lose money. Football players are not trying to lose money when it comes to that. If this were the NBA, where contracts are guaranteed and this is an exorbitant amount of dollars that have been made and are to be made moving forward, you know, usually they're in a much more posh position. And I think that it would be easier for them to make such a move, and even they wouldn't do it. A football player, I don't see that happening. I think it's one of those situations where he clearly does not want to be in Houston. He clearly is going to be a disruptive force, make no mistake about it. And I don't mean disruptive like, you know, truculent or belligerent and you just acting up and all of that other stuff. I'm just saying that it's not going to be pleasant to be around him if you're the Houston Texans organization. I definitely think it could be something along those lines. But him going as far as to hold out, Dan, where he refuses to show up to work, although he's under contract to do just that, I don't see him going that far. I see him doing what he's done, publicizing with his dismay, how badly he wants out, and making it clear to all parties concerned he wants nothing to do with this organization any longer. But for somebody of his character to sit up there and say, I'm going to leave my teammates hanging and not show up for work at all, even though they've refused to trade me, I'm just going to bail like that. Even though I wouldn't view it that way, I don't see Deshaun Watson going that far. I think that's too much for somebody of his ilk to try and do. I don't think he's made of that cloth.
Yeah, I think Deshaun Watson's going to play this season. It's just not going to be in Houston. I think there's a greater chance that he doesn't play at all than he does play with the Houston Texans. I just think that at some point this situation resolves it. And so he'll never play another snap for Houston. A couple reasons why. First of all, if you look at the draft this year and you're looking at Houston's options, there's two teams in the NFL draft this season that have multiple first-round picks, the Jets and the Miami Dolphins. There's only one team going into next year's draft that has multiple first-round picks, and that's the Jets. So the Jets have multiple this year, but also the second pick. So you're looking at two teams that are both in the same conference that you now as Houston have to sit back and be realistic and go, okay, he's not going to play for us. So now our job is to maximize what we can get out of him. We didn't get the championship out of him. Now we need to refurbish our football team or resupplant the talent on our football team. Two teams within our conference, both Miami and the Jets, have two first-round picks this year. They also play in the same division, right? So you can, Mike Tannenbaum had this point before, you can pit them against each other. And which one not only wants to get Deshaun Watson, but wants to keep Deshaun Watson from going to a division rival? That's the way that Houston has to look at this, and at some point being realistic and going, okay, we know he doesn't want to play for us. How can we get even more than maybe people think because of those teams, two teams going against each other? The second point would be this. Just imagine going to a new job, and both of you, both Nick Caserio and Coach Culley, first opportunity in these roles, and the first thing that you're going to do is play hardball with the face of the franchise. The first thing that you want to be known for in this huge opportunity is to play hardball. And I understand the alternative is to get rid of him, but he's the one asking for the out. You're not getting rid of him. You're just doing the only thing that you have as an option. And the last point would be this. If they choose to play hardball, they're alienating everybody in that football organization. I mean, they're going to alienate all those players. I understand that multiple guys want to leave. You're going to have every guy wanting to leave. You're not going to have coaches wanting to go there and deal with this stuff. And I promise you, your chance of signing free agents in the future is as small as it can be. So I think that the reality is, while Deshaun is going to play very calculated in this, he'll play football this season. It just won't be in Houston.
Dan, I think that's exactly right. That's the point. I think we all agree he's likely to be traded. But if it comes, if McNair gets stubborn and doesn't trade him, or like the question is, would he ever put on a Texans uniform again? I'm saying no. That's over. First of all, Stephen A., to your point, he'll miss a season. That's true in his prime, age 26, his age 26 season. But he also won't take any punishment and is obviously much less likely to have a career-altering injury, you know, leading his regular life, and he is playing NFL football. So he'll enter his age 27 season just better preserved, still in his absolute prime. So the money going forward, he's going to be just fine. In terms of where he winds up, Dan, I think it comes down to not so much who's willing to go where between the Jets and the Dolphins, but how Caserio looks at the potential quarterbacks. Does he look, because the Jets have the number 2 pick overall, at Wilson or Fields, right, or whoever he believes the second best quarterback to Trevor Lawrence is in that draft, as better than Tua? Because if he does, it's going to be the Jets. And if he looks at Tua and says, no, that's the guy, it'll be the Dolphins. But based on this Stafford trade, what we know is if it is Tua, it'll be Tua and at least 3 first-round picks and more stuff. It's going to be a haul.
Mr. Dan Orlovsky, listen, if you're gonna give such soliloquies, I mean, if you want to imitate Max Kellerman, why don't you just say so? And the reason I say that to you is because the question that your diatribe that you went off on, I mean, that didn't answer the direct question. Everybody up here believes he's going to be traded, Dan Orlovsky. None of us expect him to be in Houston playing for the Texans next season.
Correct.
The question is, can you see him sitting out the season if the Houston Texans refuse to move him? That's the question. Of course we don't believe he's going to be playing in Houston this upcoming season. But do you believe if they decide not to trade him, if they say, the hell with how you feel, Deshaun Watson, the hell with how you feel, you're staying here, will Deshaun Watson show up to work, or will he say, I'm going to sit out this season and refuse to play?
Stephen A., but this is why we're different. You're like, I live down in the weeds. I don't think it's going to get to that point by Houston going, nope, you are not moved. You are not getting moved.
But neither do
That's
we.
That's why I answered my question.
But neither do
That's
we.
That's why I answered the question
giving the reasoning why Houston will
eventually cave, Stephen A. I don't live up here at the surface.
Yeah, but if they don't, Dan, when you say he'll never put on a Texans uniform again.
But what if they don't?
Then they're stupid. Like, they make a stupid situation more stupid. At the end of the day, the value is greatest right now. Right now. And that's why you have to capitalize on it right now if you're an organization.
But
Max, I said
Dan,
on Friday,
Dan,
you know
but
what
the
your
point,
Giants
the point
should do? Daniel Jones, Saquon Barkley, 3-1s. Get off the phone call. That's what the Giants should do.
Today. I'll do that today. They wouldn't take it. Hey, Dan, if they did, I'd say the Giants should do it right now. Dan, but the point is, if it comes to that, to Stephen A.'s question, you say he's never putting on a Texans uniform again. That means he has to do what I said, sit out the season. Do you think that would – because if they don't believe he'll do that, maybe
if it came to that,
hardball.
Okay.
Would he do it, yes or no?
If it came to that, yes. And Houston was really stupid about it. I don't think Deshaun Watson plays for the Texans ever again. I
All
think
right,
he would
go.
Sit out, yes.
Gotta go. All right, the last time a team netted 3 first-round picks in a trade, Herschel Walker, that was in the 80s, y'all. We'll leave it there.